couple more thoughts here, just since last little bit, so I had to get something from him, and right after I got off the piano, I had to write something down real quick. This is just...
It's on? Okay. This is just something that I need to honor my mom. But my mom taught me life lessons. And I think most of our moms have taught us some kind of life lesson. Good, bad, otherwise, we've learned life lessons from our moms and all. So I'm just going to share the one scripture, and this is a scripture I heard my mom stand on for a long, long time, until the day she went home, which will be a year and a half ago tomorrow. But it was, okay, I can't see nothing without the glasses on, sorry about that. Okay, I'm just going to have to say it from memory because I can't spot it here. I didn't mark it with my pen. Raise up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. My mom watched different ones of us stray from God a little bit or stray from church. I think more than anything I've learned with my siblings, they more strayed from church than they did their love of God and the reliance on God. So she stood on that. And one day she and I had a serious conversation. And I said, Mom, I said, you know, how old is old? When they're old, they will not depart from it. We were discussing this scripture. She goes, I don't know, but God does. And it doesn't matter. It may be different for everybody. My mom was a very practical woman, okay? So some of the things my mom taught me, and I stand on that, with wanting to see my kids back in church and all. I am so honored to have Heather and Dan and the kids here, and TJ and Beth, they're active in a different church and all. And Micah, in case some of you don't know, I got four kids. My baby is Micah, who just turned 30, so I officially have to quit calling him my baby. They've gotten to attending a church down in Roscoe where they live. And God's drawing Melissa and her husband into a church. And we just keep praying. God, keep drawing them. Keep drawing them. Keep drawing them. But I kind of put this along the lines of through my life, okay? Different ages. First thing I can remember my mother taught me was, you are loved. She loved me unconditionally. From the time I can remember, she showed me that she loved me. And one of the nicest things that she did, and I've tried to do it with my grandkids and all, so maybe they don't remember, they're a little too old now for this, but the first song I remember learning was, yes, Jesus loves me. From the time my little ones were little, and all, I got three of them back here, I'd sit and rock them. Yes, Jesus loves Kaylee, Madeline, Aaron. Yes, whichever one I was holding, that one was told, yes, Jesus loves you. Our youngest grandbaby, we were honored to be at her christening, baptism, the church they go to does that, and see the woman who was instrumental in my daughter-in-law's life with her walk with Christ as a teenager, carry her up and down the aisle with the whole congregation singing, yes, Jesus loves you. And all. It's a heritage I love and appreciate. Another thing my mom taught me was always do your best. And what's the first thing you would think of when your parent tells you always do your best as a young child? School. And she was a school teacher when I was in school, my young years. I would have mom checking over my homework, whether I wanted it or not. And she would always say, do your best. Do your best. Whatever the best was, that's what she would accept. But she knew what my best was. So I made a lot of corrections on homework, okay? Another one that she had taught me was respect for elders. I can remember growing up, how many of you had honorary grandparents or aunts and uncles? Absolutely no relation whatsoever, but you called them grandma and grandpa, or aunt or uncle, and they meant a lot to you. And I still remember, I was just thinking this morning, it's like, grandma and grandpa Pearsall, let's see, but what was his first name and what was her first name? It took me a few minutes, because you know what, I never called them by their first name. I remember seeing Grandma Pearsall's obituary, and then it clicked with me. Oh yeah, his was Bill and hers was Jesse. And I saw that as an adult, and that's how it clicked. Just respect for elders, the older people. My grandparents were always grandma and grandpa. And all. And Papa's okay. All right, kids? We've got a thing going on in the family right now. She's good with it. I got one daughter who does not want her kids calling my husband Papa. And when he first became grandpa, he didn't want to be grandpa. So we, Papa became. He wasn't old enough to be grandpa yet. Yeah, he was, but that's where he was with it. And all. The other thing that she taught me was respect for authority. And this was a very hard life lesson for me at the time that I remember learning it the most. And you know how you learn something or you get it? The year I got it, I had a fifth grade teacher who was not a nice woman. Okay? I'm still trying to have that respect. And I wound up walking away with the feeling I was being picked on. And I would just tell my mom and dad, I don't know why she's picking on me, but every time I don't have my math, and math was easy for me, but I just didn't want to do it. Okay? Well, let's go there with it. But every time that I turned in an incomplete assignment, I had that day's assignment to finish, the next day's assignment to finish, and two more pages of math facts to do. And this was fifth grade. So it would turn into an hour or so of math to do in the evening. That's how she operated, okay, just as a person. I had to bite my tongue. I had to call her Mrs. and her last name. She's not from this area, okay? and show her the respect. And eventually my mom and dad got me on the path, even with her as a teacher, of getting that math done every night. So I wasn't cramming, trying to get more done, more done, more done, and getting behind. I've carried that on through my adulthood, though. I've had a couple bosses that were like, okay, you're my boss. How are ya? And calling them respectfully. I might get in the car after work and just unload on my husband and just say, you won't believe this. Okay, but in front of them, you show respect. And another thing my mom taught me, and this is what hit me up there, my mom taught me to play the piano. She tried very hard when I was about 8, 9, 10 years old. And I tried very hard not to learn it. So she gave up. she had a daughter with a very strong will and all, and she knew it. She let it go, but knew the talent God had put in here and all, and knew the gift God had put in me. So she let it go. But you know what? I'm 99% certain she was praying, God, find someone to wake up that talent in Dean. Let her see that talent that you've given her. And whatever age you are in eighth grade, okay, about 13 years old, roughly 12, 13 years old, I was listening to friends at school play piano because our music teacher believed in having the kids that had the talent play with them. So we were had a choir and all, and we had a good choir. We had a really talented group of kids. And I started playing around with that music. My mom had a piano by then again. And all she did when I was 8 or 9, we moved to Illinois. The piano stayed here. We went. There was not room on the moving truck for it. So we did that, and I began to want to play that music. I want to do what they're doing, and all. And began playing with my mom. She would help me with the notes. I had learned what notes went with what and everything very quickly. And so that started the beginning of eighth grade year. By the time we had our spring sing, I played with the choir. And that's when I began to understand the gift that God had put in me. Be honest with you, I don't play a whole lot of secular songs. I just don't get them. But I love church music. And it's my relaxation. And all. Another thing she told me was to tell the truth. And girls, you're going to love this. Grandma's going to tell on herself, okay? When I was under the age of 10, no, about 12 years old, somewhere in there, because I know the house that this happened in, the grocery stores came out with something called shatterproof plastic jars. And some of you might remember those. Everything was in glass before then. So peanut butter came out in shatterproof plastic jar. So my mom, with five kids, I'm one of five kids, bought a big jar of peanut butter at the grocery store, put it in the cupboard. And I remember one Saturday, my mom had to go do something. And probably mom and dad were off at going to pray with somebody. Could be they weren't gone a real long time. That's how my mom and dad operated. And all that was their call. They did nursing home services. My dad was a ordained minister, okay, but didn't pastor a church. But he pastored nursing homes, and him and my mom, he pastored neighbors. You know, wherever there was a need, they could call Alan Mary, and they would pray for them, no matter what. So probably they were off doing that, and I discovered the jar of peanut butter in the closet. I have a scientific mind, okay? I'm not real artistic at all, but I have a scientific mind. Shatterproof. Can you guess what I did? I did not throw the jar, okay? But I took it out of the cupboard, and I was already this tall. I took the jar and dropped it. Picked it up, and I go, oh, it didn't shatter. And began to see a little ooze out the bottom of that. And it was up about an inch from the very bottom. The bottom stayed intact, but there was a weak spot where they had curved the jar. And I'm like, oh, great, I'm in trouble now. And I can, to this day, remember the thought coming to me, tell the truth, you may still get in trouble, but it won't be as bad as if you hide something or lie. So my mom came home, and they got, things situated, and her and I were in the kitchen because I love to cook also. And I looked at her, and I said, Mom, I need to show you something. And she's like, okay. Maybe not that look. That's my look. That's not hers. So I opened the cupboard door, pulled out the peanut butter jar, and I had kept looking at it to see how bad is it leaking out of the bottom of the jar. It had not bad. Okay, I was amazed. So I pulled it out, and I showed it to her. I said, we had a little accident with the peanut butter jar. She just looks at me, and she goes, did you drop it? Yep. I just told, yep, I did. She knew my mind. She knew that I was scientific. You tell me it's shatterproof, I have to test it, So she pulled out the peanut butter jar. She says, okay, so what are we going to do now? And I said, I don't know. Is it all ruined? She said, no. She kept jars, okay. She went to the cupboard, got a jar out, gave me either a spatula or a knife, I don't remember which, and had me clean out the peanut butter jar down to a little bit above where that crack was. We didn't want to take any chance with someone getting something in them, and put it in the other jar. She didn't help me. I was old enough to do it myself. And she said, okay, what did you learn? Well, obviously, don't test the shatterproofness of a jar, But she said, no, you learned something better today, because she said, I didn't have to find it. You came to me and said, Mom, I did this. And I said, okay, now what kind of trouble am I in? She says, you're not. She says, I've told you that if you tell the truth, you may still have punishment coming, but it will be easier. And she said, your punishment was having to dig that out of the peanut butter jar, because I wasn't going to do it. So, you know, life lessons can be funny and all. Another thing she taught me is you have to forgive. And I can remember, I know I've seen some with some grandkids. I don't know as I've seen it with you guys, I think it's other ones, where their parents will stand them in front of each other. Madeline and Kaylee, would you two mind coming up here and helping me? Because if you see it, you'll understand it a little bit better. And you don't have to say anything or do anything. Just stand and look at each other real close. Okay. And I hear one of my kids say, you two aren't moving until you apologize to each other. One of you is going to say, I'm sorry. I don't know, Heather, do you do that? No. Okay.
Thank you.
And they will stand there, and I've seen a couple of them stand there for 2-3 minutes until finally one of them goes, fine, I'm sorry. Which then usually the parent will say, you can stand there till you mean it. You know, because that's definitely not, and I mean it, I'm sorry, it was to get out of having to stand there. But I don't know if you've seen that happen or not with any of your cousins. No? Those are safe for grandma and grandpa moments, I guess. But we were never allowed, and we never did that. My parents would just look at us and say, you guys need to apologize to each other. And we knew it was expected immediately. And it was expected to be heartfelt, you know. So I don't remember any time that any of us kids were ever allowed to just be mad at each other. And with 5 kids, that can happen for any length of time. They taught us, be quick to apologize and mean it, you know. Another thing that they taught me was when stressful situations, sing. Both my parents were beautiful singers. Dawn's had the privilege of hearing them. I know that and all. And when there would be stressful situations, they would sing. I remember one night coming from, we lived in Beloit at that time, and we had gone on vacation. I'm assuming it was to Holland, Michigan, because I remember the whole event, okay? We were coming through Chicago area, and a storm was building. We were hearing on the car radio tornado warnings and all, and it was just, you know, what do we do? Plan was, they had friends in Chicago. We were going to stop for the night, stay there, and then the next morning finish up going to Beloit. Got to the friend's house. They weren't home. They were also supposed to be getting back from vacation that day. So Mom and Dad were like, okay. Cell phones didn't happen back in those days, okay? Way before cell phones. We got back in the car and headed towards Beloit. A couple-hour drive was all not bad, except for the tornado. And we were pulling a trailer, and I knew we were going fast. I knew the wind was blowing hard. I was hearing my dad say, I'm afraid the wind is going to take the trailer and flip us. My dad was a praying man. And finally he spotted a building that we could pull in behind and have shelter from the storm until it passed over. We did that and began to go on our way. And my mom and dad started singing, He Touched Me. And just singing. And my mom, I did not know at that time, but I learned it since, had written music before. And do you know that He Touched Me has 4 verses, not 2? Bill and Gloria Gaither don't know it either. But the Kitson family knows there's 4 verses to that song, because that night, 2 more verses were birthed out of that stressful situation. Being a new mom, Heather's my oldest one, and all. I wanted to do everything so perfectly right. And I was stressing, I later learned from my mom, I was stressing her out, and I was stressing me out. So she and I had many, many sessions, sitting in a rocking chair, both of us crying, until I'd start singing, "There's something about that name." She'd calm down, I'd calm down. Things would get better. She wasn't a colicky baby. My mom, I could call her, and she lived about 2-3 miles from us. She'd come over, she'd take her in instant peace. And that's when my mom knew, "You're making your daughter nervous, Dean, and all. You're stressing her out." But she taught me sing. You know, sit there and sing. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name." We both calmed down. Another thing that she taught me was, no matter where life takes you, make friends. And all. They went from, in their time of marriage, my mom and dad went from Hot Springs, Arkansas, to, I lost the name, Indiana anyway, Terre Haute, Indiana, to New London, Wisconsin, to, I was born in Waupaca, but they did still live in New London at the time, to Ryle, Wisconsin, to Clinton, Wisconsin, to Beloit, Wisconsin, and eventually down to the St. Louis area. And when I got married, I got gifts from Hot Springs, Arkansas, friends of my mom and dad that were still friends. I got gifts from Terre Haute, Indiana. I still have handmade pillowcases from Terre Haute, Indiana. They're not in good shape. We've been married 43 years, but I still have them. And, you know, relatives lived up in Wisconsin. My dad came from Sheboygan area and all. But she taught me, make friends wherever you are. You know, I've got daughter-in-laws who have best friends that they've been best friends with since they were little. They still live in the area where they grew up. I don't know what will happen when they move away. I don't have any best friends from when I was little. And I've got friends, but it's not this tight-knit group. I've got friends all over, though. And once in a while, we'll have someone reach out, or we'll reach out to someone that's on our heart and, you know, do that. So wherever I've gone, make friends. Get involved in church. My parents were very strongly involved in church. I didn't learn until I was upper teens. My dad was not the associate pastor of the church that we were in, because they were so involved, and I knew he was a, at that time, licensed minister. We thought he was. So did a lot of other people. And all. Just, you know, get involved in church. Serve God. That was another thing. Another thing was, at the end, again, "I love you." My mom's last words to me were, "I love you too." I had told her I loved her, had no clue. She did not know who I was, okay? She had dementia, had no clue who I was, but she had always known, "Yeah, you're someone important to me, you're okay," and all. And the last time we saw her, I had reached down and said, "Can I kiss you on the forehead? Because you asked, or because of her disease, you might get a fist." Yep. And that's just the nastiness of the disease. And she says, "Yeah." So I leaned down, kissed her forehead, and kind of leaned next to her ear, and I said, "Mom, I love you." And she pulled her head back, looked me straight in the eye, and said, "I love you too." 2 weeks later, she was gone. So that was God's gift to me. You know, in life, and this, he'll take over, I know that. In life, curves come our way. And as I was finishing this one area, and I have only a half page of notes, okay? I tried again last night to put more stuff down, and it was just like, no, speak from your heart. curves come our way in life's journey. And when those curves come your way, and we were, picture we're traveling the highway and through an area of Springfield, Illinois, that is curvy. And I'm looking at the road as this is all coming to my mind. And the thought hit me, Tim has a choice. He can turn the wheel of the car and go with the curve of the road, or he can go straight, and what's going to happen? Well, you're going to wreck. I know that. So in life's road, we have a path. Sometimes there's curves. The way to heaven is straight and narrow. We have to walk it. But there will be curves sometime that come our way. And we have to decide, are we going to, I'm on the straight and narrow, I'm not going any way but straight ahead. We might crash. Or do we go with it and say, okay, God, you said no matter what my path, that you're here with me. You're taking me that path. You're leading me. You're guiding me. You have my hand. And go that way. No matter what the path is. Or, you know, do you not? I've learned a long time ago, sometimes the paths are bumpy. But God is there with me. If I listen to him, he will keep it as smooth as can be. If I don't listen to him, get a little bit more bumpy, but, you know, that's where it is. And maybe you don't have a mom that taught you these values. Maybe to our moms here, you didn't know those values to teach when you were a mother. I have always prayed and always known. I learned more from the women that God put in my life, and men, okay, but today's Mother's Day, the women that God put in my life, about how to walk with God, how to sit back, observe, and say, okay, I see what's going on, and it's okay. I may not like it. It's okay. Okay, God, now what are you going to do about it? And I've learned that watching some of you. I've known Dawn for, let's see, since 89, 90, something like that, a very long time. Most of you not that long. Lou, since 97 when we started here, and Dan, and all. But we learn from those around us. I watch some of the younger gals that I work with now, and I'd love to just share some things with them. If God opens up the door, I will. You know, if not, I can pray for them and say, God, come on, just send someone else their way. The reason I had to get this from him, just a little funny thing. One of the things my mom taught me to do, and I've seen some things that my mom taught me that have carried on into my adult life in ways I never dreamt of. My mom taught me how to fold a bulletin. She was secretary at a church. Friday afternoon, I'd get off the bus at the church where she worked instead of going to the street and walking a mile back to my home. And that was the Friday afternoon job. I'd help her fold the bulletins. And that way, when she got off work, we could head home, and she was good, they were done. They didn't have a small number of bulletins to fold like here, and it was before that church wanted to invest the amount of money needed for a folding machine. They were not cheap at, you know, for the economy at that time. So I learned how to very quickly fold bulletins. But, you know, today's a day to honor moms. I've got a mama sitting back there who's mama of some of my grandkids. We've got three mamas sitting here that I know I've heard enough of your stories to know that you all have children. And I want to honor you and tell you how much I appreciate. I maybe don't use the brother and sister like I grew up with calling church people. You're all a little older than me. Okay, we're going to, just a little. You're not old enough to be my mom, any of you. I wish Ina was here, because she's one of them that I just listen to her and hear some of those values and what she is saying that my mom taught me that she got from her mom and dad. You know, but I love you all. You are precious moms. You are precious moms to the people in this church. And I appreciate all of you. And all. And even my giggly granddaughter back there. I love you, Erin. So.
Huh? No, I didn't say nothing, honey. Nothing.
Okay.
Thank you. That was very nice. Memories and growing up. And I can remember, you know, as I got introduced into their family, you know, and sitting around the kitchen table, it was a crazy time. I told her yesterday, I said, wow, I remember your mom and dad. Your mom, they'd have lunches and meals. They'd have youth group over when her siblings got into college at ORU, and they'd come home, and maybe their friends were passing through, heading back to their homes. It was nothing for these kids just to stop at the house of her mom and dad, the Kitsons, and have a lunch, have a meal, do whatever. It was amazing the amount of connections they had. And they could travel across the country and not spend a night in a motel. It was like, oh my goodness. Because of the friendships and things that developed through church connections, family connections, that is always an amazing thing. And they were a great couple, and I was blessed, truly blessed. I know I told my father-in-law last night, or the other night, Friday night, when I bent down and talking to him, I said, I just want to appreciate you as a father-in-law for what you've done for me, and you and Mom, for praying me. I said, you've prayed me into where I'm at, you know, because I certainly wasn't headed this direction. And being outside of a church setting and growing up in a church, that I wasn't. And so I always tell people that I probably got my mother and father-in-law closer to God than anybody in their life. Because I'm sure they would see me coming for their daughter. I was the first one that took one of their kids away from them into marriage. You know, we got married young, and, you know, craziness as it is. But how God just brought our paths together at such a wonderful time. But I said, Dad, I said, you prayed me into heaven. You've prayed me into what God has for me. And thank you so much. You know, I said, whenever I heard that song some years back, I can't remember the whole thing, but who did it, but it was like, somebody or someone is praying for you. Someone is praying. Da-da-da. And anyway, I would hear that. I'd start breaking up driving when I'd hear that, because I thought of my mother and father-in-law. But they're a blessing, a true, true blessing. And one of them is in heaven rejoicing, and our father or father-in-law and parent there, he's probably getting close. He wants to go be with his wife, you know. Praise God. So as we wrap this up, I think she did a wonderful job, just the values of what was learned by that. And I could imagine my wife dropping testing things out just because. And I think we got some of that traits into our kids. Now I know where that comes from. It's like, why would you? Well, it says this. That's what it, you know. Okay. Back in the 90s, there was a survey that was done. And I know this is quite old in the 90s. But it's, who was the greatest influence in your life? And, you know, they were given the choices of a teacher, maybe a friend, a spouse, or whatever that might have influenced you the most. So the poll asked that question to more than 4,000 adults, and people were allowed to give any one of those responses, you know, a teacher, a professor, somebody that spoke into your life, to 4,000. So the people were allowed to give any one of those responses. The results were revealing. According to the poll, the person with the greatest influence was a person's mother. 42% of the men and 53% of the women said that mom was the most influential person in their life. Wow. Now, this is back in the 90s, and I don't know what it would be today, but it would be interesting. But how influential the mother is in that household. The story goes like this. There's an illustration that a teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day, in a written test, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, this teacher was so astonished to find that almost half of the class answered the question with the word mother. She just gave a lesson on a magnet, and she says, this starts with M. What is it? You know, and it's a six, six letters? Yeah, my full name has six letters, and it starts with an M. Well, as a teacher, she's probably thinking they're going to say what she was teaching on. But no, mom. Over half of the students answered with that question, and they all got it right. A cartoon, Dennis the Menace, back in the 91, I think it was showing. A cartoon character shows Dennis the Menace, and he's saying this to his friend Joey. I don't know what I'll do when my mom gets too old to tie my shoes. Mom will always be around. She's going to take care of me, you know. No, I'm not going to grow up. One other thing was talked about where a mother of three notoriously unruly youngsters was asked whether or not she'd have children if she had it to do all over again. Oh, yeah, she said with a smile. But she added, certainly I would do that, but not with the same ones. So, yeah, I'll still have kids, but it ain't going to be the three I got now. There's going to be a different one, I tell you. So, anyway, there's some fun things thinking about mom and how special she in some of our lives was. You know, my mother has passed on, I don't know how many years back now, quite a few, 10, 15, I don't know, 10, 12, something like that. It goes by so fast. And some mothers are still around, and bless them and encourage them and tell them you love them for sure. But take that special time. So in closing, what I'd like to do is just read this little thing about Mother's Day. And it's thanking the Lord. It says, thank you, dear Lord, for our mothers who were brave enough to give birth, who loved through many growing up years, who taught about God and love and being good, who often got no thanks, whose ears could hear the slightest cry, whose eyes didn't miss much either, whose hands held and bathed and picked up, whose heart was often broken, who always forgave and forgot, who would encourage when things went bad, who always had time to listen, who worked so hard to make things go, who make the world so much better, who deserves our love on Mother's Day and every day. Our mothers. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. I think what we'll do for our time of today is I'll say a prayer, and then any giving or offerings, we can just let Dan receive them in the back as you depart here. But let me close in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that at least there is a day marked on our calendars that brings to remembrance our moms and what they have meant to us, what they are doing for us. Lord, thank you. But truly, it's every day should be Mother's Day of thankful for what they are about. And for having placed my mom, Lord, I love her, miss her truly. I'm sure everyone here could say that at times. But Father, we just thank you for this day. And now for the moms that are represented here, Lord, a special blessing upon them and encouragement for them, Lord. And Lord, as we as family around them would say, we love you and thank you for what you're doing, that Father, you, Lord, would touch their spirit, maybe whisper into their spirit and say, you're doing a fine job. We just love our mothers now, Lord, and we thank you for them. Bless this day continually. Lord, as we come to a time of giving as well, we ask your blessings upon the gifts that are given. Bless the giver, their family. Meet every need that they would have. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.